During the next 40 days, we're looking at two things. One is deepening the sense of community within our own church family, and then also reaching out to the community around our church family. Deepening the sense of love within, reaching out in love to the community around. We're learning to build stronger relationships in our church. We're learning to reach out in relationships of love to those around our church. The reason we're doing this is because the Bible says we're better together. Last week we talked a little bit about how we have been created for five purposes. And those purposes that God has for us in our life cannot be fulfilled just by ourselves. You have to have other people in your life. We're wired for relationships. God said it's not good for man to be alone. God dislikes loneliness, so he wants us to be a community with each other. You don't need 100 friends, but you do need 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 that are really there with you. The tragedy is most people today don't have a single intimate friend. They've got a lot of acquaintances, but they don't have anybody looking out for their spiritual growth. Who's helping them? Who's saying, I'm going to be there no matter what happens in your life? So we're going to be looking how to deepen relationships and why relationships go bad and how you turn them around. Today we're going to start with the end. The last purpose of your life is you were made for a mission. God wants you to share His love with other people, with your friends, with your family, with the people you work with, and show His love to those who don't know Christ yet, who are not in His family. Why does He want us to do that? Because God wants everybody in His family. God has never made a person He didn't love. God has never made a person He didn't have a purpose for. God has never made a person that Jesus didn't die for. So God wants us to share that good news. But you're not alone. God wants you to do it with other people. In the book of Philippians, Paul says this, "You are standing side by side with one strong purpose, to tell the good news." If you got a pencil there handy, we can go ahead and circle where it says standing together. I think it's already underlined, but that's all right. The circle certainly would hope to remind us the importance of what we're doing and how we're doing it. Circle, telling the good news. That's what we're looking to do in our lives. How do we do it together? How do we share with friends that God loves them? How do we do it in a partnership with other people? How do we do it together as a small group? We're going to be looking at some answers for those questions today. The next verse in the same chapter says, "You've been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ." Circle the word partners. We're going to look at ways in which to partner with other believers, with other people in the family of God, to help reach your friends, your relatives, the people you care about most with this good news. We're going to look at it as we go through an acrostic. We're spelling out the word partner. And even before we can partner to show God's love, we have to understand this is in fact a choice that we make. You have to make the choice that I'm going to be unselfish. I'm going to start caring not just about my life, but I'm going to start caring about other people's lives. I'm going to care about telling them about the good news. That's a choice. Will I choose to do what's loving? Will I choose to follow what God wants? If we're going to fulfill God's purposes for our life, we have to make the choice. The choice that says, I'm going to choose to share the good news with other people. So, how in fact do we do this? We certainly do it first and foremost as we pray together. The first thing you do is that when we gather in small groups, we're so thankful that we had our first small group gathering on Wednesday. And the challenge was that we bring even one more person with us this coming Wednesday. We filled our first small group, and so our goal then is to have enough this coming Wednesday so that we have to have two small groups because we've all invited someone to come. Our opportunity is this evening for our small groups to meet for the first time on Sunday night, and we invite you to come and to join as many as three or four of those that have already committed to meet on Sunday night. We'll be meeting at 6:30 on Sunday night, right after the evening worship service. And we invite you to come and to be a part of a small group that will be meeting over the next 6 weeks. The Cobbs have graciously opened up their home. They have sent out their invitations. They've not heard back from any of their couples yet, so they are ready to be a part of a small group as well. Cobbs, we may just have you come and sit in Sunday and recruit from there if we need to. But we would love for you to come and experience our time together from 6:30 to 8 in our small group gatherings. The first thing we're going to ask you to do in your small group is to pray for your friends who haven't stepped across this line of faith yet, who are still considering the claims of Christ, who don't really know God in a personal way. Ask them in a personal way about this one we follow. We can't force anyone to love God, but we can pray for them. And prayer can do what God can do. Prayer can melt hard hearts. Prayer can warm up a cold heart. Prayer can activate and arouse an apathetic heart, and prayer can change a stubborn heart. How many times have we seen the power in prayer? People can reject your arguments. They may refuse to listen to your logic, but they are powerless against your prayers. It goes straight to their heart. Now, we are so fortunate this month to be collecting for our World Mission offering. Miss Debbie Mullinex, a member of our church, was commissioned, well, not quite 15 years ago, but over a decade ago, from Philippi Baptist to go on the mission field. She served faithfully in India until they wouldn't let her back in the country. And so she then said, well, I'll come back to my home here in Harrison County, and we'll see what God has in store next. The Philippines, Elizabeth, is that right? The Philippines is where she is now stationed in ministry. She has arrived in the Philippines. And so while we can't be there with Debbie, we have the power of prayer. We get to surround her with our love and our support. And even as we think of the World Mission Offering, if you would like to designate your mission offering to go to Debbie, please mark that on your check, and we will make sure that some of that support, in fact, all that you designate, will in fact go toward her efforts as she continues to go forward. We are still connected with her, even though thousands of miles separate us. Prayer connects us. What are we supposed to be praying about as a group? One of the things in Colossians 3:4 says this: pray for us that God will give us the opportunity to tell people His message. So we pray for God's opportunity to share with our friends and our loved ones and people we care about the good news about God. As we pray for opportunity, we also start seeing those same people everywhere. It's It's amazing how our prayers line up with what happens in our lives. We've got lots of opportunities. They're all around us. We just need to notice them. Prayer makes us more aware. When we start praying for our family, then we start seeing the needs of our family. When we start praying for our friends, we start seeing the needs of our friends. The same with our coworkers and fellow students that we live beside and go to class with. So that's the first action step as we think in terms of this good news. I want you to make a prayer list. Put three or four names on there. And then in your small groups, have an opportunity to share those names, to let folks know these are the ones that God has placed on our hearts. We'll get to pray together over these next 40 days. And there, in fact, is power in prayer. What else can we do? We can appeal to common interests. Before you can share the good news with anybody, it is important to establish a relationship with them. Before you can reach them, you must relate to them. If you've not caught the Sunday edition of the Intermountain, I understand that we have a featured article in the paper. One of our great downtown Main Street businesses has a front and center article about what they do and how they connect to the city of Philippi. Did anybody see that article? It's in the Telegram, which is the Clarksburg paper in the Telegram. Gerald Fogg saw that article. Who was it about? Marge Campbell and Mountain Treasures has a... Is your picture even in there, Marge? Oh, my life. Oh, and somebody left it on the organ bench for Marge. Great opportunity. Marge Campbell has folks that come through her shop that have a very specific interest set. They have a common interest. And she sees people that some of you, I would dare say Scott Springer does not quite see the same group of people that Marge Campbell does. Now, Marge may like to go to car shows too, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, now Scott will see a whole different set of folks in some regards. We all have interests. God made us that way. He wired us to have different interests. And it is in those common interests that we have the privilege of connecting with each other or reaching out. In our small groups, we're going to be asking to make a list of these things that we have in common. We ought to talk with people in our small groups and say, what do we like to do? Make a list of those kind of things. Share it with each other. Then ask, how do we know how these people and how can we connect them as we do life together? Caleb came up to me this morning and he says, Dad, we got to use one of the great establishments in Barber County last night. He said, there are some of us that really don't like the partying scene that much. And we're often thinking about what to do instead. So they went bowling at the Barber Lanes. All 15 of them, or how many ever they were, they piled in the car. They headed out to the bowling alley next to the high school. And they shut the place down. In fact, I think you kept them past hours, didn't you? Yeah, oh well. Mo didn't mind that, I'm sure. That was still good business for him. Whatever it is that interests you, it can, in fact, be an opportunity for us to connect and to share the good news. There was a small group one time that was formed. They liked to watch movies. It's a little bit different than their Bible study time, but it was a time where they could just go and hang out. They called it the Master Wing Theater. Every other Friday night, they got together on that Friday night, made hot wings, and then they watched a movie together. It was a great opportunity to connect and to have a good time. So, We have to find common interests, those things that appeal to us. We have to pray together, but we also have to reach out in love. Why? Because you have to have the right motive in reaching out to your neighbors and friends. Jesus said, love your neighbor, how? As yourself. You know that old adage, people don't care what we know until they know how much we care. So everything we do needs to be out of love. Why are we doing this? Why are we even talking about reaching out to our community? Why don't we just focus on us? We've got enough people here. Why don't we just focus making sure that everybody in our church is just warmer and stronger? Why in the world would we focus on the community around our church? Why do we do that? We certainly don't do it out of guilt. And we certainly don't do it out of pressure. We don't do it out of duty. We don't do it to make God like us because He already loves us. We don't do it because we're better than anybody else, because we're not. We do it for these reasons. Number one, it's the greatest news in the world to share. If I had a cure for cancer, I'd be shouting it in the streets. If I had the cure for AIDS, I'd be telling everybody I could. But I've got something, you've got something better than that. The key to purpose in life and eternal life. What is the good news? It's this message that there is a plan and a purpose for our life. You're not an accident. You were made by God. He has a purpose. You were made to last forever. God wants you to live forever with Him in eternity. But He wants you to get to know Him here on earth. He knows and loves everything about you, and He wants you to know and love Him too. Jesus Christ came to earth so you could get to know what God is like. He died on the cross, paid for our sins, so that everything we've ever done wrong is completely wiped out and forgotten and forgiven. He gives us a purpose for living in the present, and He gives us a home in heaven in the future. Now that's good news. Where else am I going to hear that kind of news? That was good news in the paper, but we get a lot of news in the paper that's not good news. It's not like we're trying to give people rabies or something. This is the best news in the world. Everybody needs to hear it. So, it's not just for us, but also we give this good news because it's out of a heart of gratitude. If God never did anything for me, I still owe Him my life. Just for the fact that He's forgiven everything I've ever done wrong, He's given me the security of a home in heaven and a purpose for living now. He's helped me with so many problems in my life. I owe Him everything, so I do it out of gratitude. But then not only out of gratitude and this idea that we've got the greatest news in the world to share, it's also because the Bible says God is love. When God comes into your life, you start loving other people. In fact, without God in your life, we don't love a whole lot of people. The Bible says in 1 John 4, God is love, and you can't have somebody as big as God come into your life and not change you. All of a sudden, you start becoming less selfish and more loving. If we didn't have Christ in our life, we would not be where we are today. The Bible says, because we loved you, that's the motive in reaching out in love, we were happy to share not only God's good news, but even our own lives. God says, when you share with people who don't know me yet, I don't want you to just share the good news, I want you to share your life with them. If you don't do both, it's not really love. So, you know what one of our major problems continues to be? Sadly, today, most people who don't know the Lord, who are unbelievers, who haven't stepped across the line, those people, they expect Christians to reach out in judgment, not to reach out in love. There's this idea of Christians, in quotation marks. They think they're better than everybody else. They think they've got all the answers. They think they've got a higher standard of living. They put down everybody else. They look down their noses. They're just looking to judge everybody else. That's a common conception out in the world today. It misses the entire idea that we love people because Christ is in our lives. What is sharing the good news? Really, it's one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. That's it. I'm not any better than anybody else. We just pass it on. So they expect us to reach out in judgment, and a lot of Christians are more known for what they're against than what they're for. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians, "It's not my business to judge those who are not a part of the church." It's not my business. When my kids mess up, or when they did, when they were little, really little, I took care of that. But when the kids next door messed up, I told their parents. It was their responsibility. Why? Because they're not my kids. Now, I love them. Kids down the street mess up, they're not my kids. So the Bible says we're to take care of each other in the family. If one of us gets off, you should come and tell him, "You're getting off track." But let me give you this little idea. Never expect an unbeliever to act like a believer until he or she is one. He or she can't. They don't have the power to change. There are a lot of things, as I think back in my life, that I would love to have changed, but I was powerless over changing those without Christ. That's why it's almost to the point of silly to try to make laws to make people act like Christians before they become Christians. It's not going to happen. They can only do it with God's power in their life. So when we see somebody who's not a believer acting in a way that's kind of foul or stupid or selfish or dumb, I'm not judging the believer. I'm called to love them and help them and come to know Christ so they then can have the power to make the change. I just always remember that is, in fact, the way I was. So, here's something for our small groups. Ask God to give you a deeper love for other people. One of the greatest lines that we can ever ask somebody else, we can write this down at the bottom of our outline, "How can I pray for you?" It's a simple little question. But if you place that into someone else's life, you open up the door to see what God has in store next. How can I pray for you? It's not offensive. Even people who are atheists don't mind you praying for them. They say, "Sure, I can use all the help I can get." Everybody wants to be prayed for. Everybody. In fact, they're grateful for it. That question has been asked to tens of thousands of millions of people. And it is a wonderful way in which we can learn and be a part of sharing this good news. Now, as I mentioned, one of our small groups already met on Wednesday night. We had a task to be thinking of how we could reach out in the community. Code Blue Youth Alliance was mentioned. And so it was an opportunity for us to be thinking in terms of how that could look. And so one of the commitments as a group was that we would have one person volunteer at Code Blue Youth Alliance over the next 6 weeks, just as an opportunity to see how we can connect in our communities. Our small groups will be given that challenge over this coming week. How is it that we can connect to where God has placed us? So we also have this way of telling the good news by telling your stories. Do what the Bible talks about in 1 Peter 2:9. You are God's instruments to do His work and to speak out for Him and to tell others of the night and day difference He has made for you. Tell your story. In fact, that is the only thing that people cannot refute. They can try to argue with you about history. They can argue with you about theology. But they cannot take away your experience. Tell others your story. The fifth way that we can work together is to nurture friendships. Just build friendships with them so you can build a bridge between your heart and theirs, and Jesus Christ can walk across it. This step takes a little bit more time and effort. It takes a little more energy to build a friendship. You don't just do it overnight, but the Bible says in Romans 12, be friendly with everybody. Don't be proud and feel that you are smarter than others. Make friends with ordinary people. I'm really glad the Bible uses example after example of how to do that. Jesus liked to party. He liked to celebrate. And there's instance after instance of that shown throughout His Word. One of His disciples named Levi, not the gene guy, but Levi, who we also know as Matthew, he said, in his home, Levi was also called Matthew, gave a big dinner party for Jesus, and many fellow tax collectors and other guests were also here. Why does it say many fellow tax collectors? Because that's what Matthew was. He was a tax collector. He called up the office and all of his buddies and said, come on over. He had an office party for Jesus. Some of you can do that where you are. And even as the video showed, as we were taking the offering today, there is this call to be a Matthew. At our state convention, which was a wonderful opportunity to connect with our other brothers and sisters around West Virginia, one of the things that they brought before us was this same exact video, to be a part of offering hope to our community. And so they're asking us to be Matthews, to invite people to watch a presentation of the gospel and just some people that share their personal witness and to have an opportunity for folks to hear the good news. We do that, though, as we earn the right, as we nurture relationships. Number six, expect God to act. I don't know if you realize this, but God works in people's hearts when we expect Him to do so. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Before I started service today, sitting in the study, I prayed this prayer. God, it'd be a waste of time to go out there and talk to those people without expecting you to do something. So I'm going to thank you in advance that you're going to change lives. Thank you in advance. I expect it to happen in faith, not because of who I am, because of who you are. This is the faith that God uses in changing lives. It's an opportunity for us to realize that if we don't expect anything, God will answer that just as loud. And then our last acrostic letter, to represent Christ with your life. The Bible says, whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. We need audiovisual Christians who walk the walk and talk the talk. We do it, we say it, we live it, we share it. We communicate, we demonstrate. We are to show, we are to tell as Christians. We need to live it in our lives and we need to share it with our mouths. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, do all you can to live a peaceful life. Take care of your own business. Do your own work. If you do, people who are not believers will respect it. The fact is, God specifically put people in your life, and you are God's representative to them. God encourages us to partner together in His mission, to have the opportunity to see how He is working in ways that we cannot see or imagine, and to partner together over these 40 days. As we share in our small groups. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, you have given us a mission in the world to share your good news and your love with other people. Thank you that we don't have to do it alone. Thank you that right now as we share, you're going to give us your words and your love for others. I pray that you would raise up an army with a heart to change the world. And may we all pray these thoughts together. Dear God, I realize that you've put specific people in my life because you want me to share your love with them. Today, I accept my mission. I want you to use me. Help me to be concerned about people around me who don't know you. Help me to take these 7 steps of partnering with my small group. I realize that they're not going to know unless we show them. Help me to remember that no one is hopeless and nobody is beyond reach of your love. And that people who I think are so far from you, really, your love is still farther and can reach out to them even in ways I can't see. So in faith, I ask you to help our groups reach out more for Jesus during the next 40 days. And in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.